All right, we were talking about surgical interventions that have evolved over the course of your career. Would you like to talk a little bit about other medical advances that you've seen?
Well, I think a lot of them relate to medical.
Okay. A lot of the medical advances relate to general?
Well, I think they relate to general things such as mapping the human genome, understanding the human genome, different kinds of medicines and cardiovascular diseases, interventional therapy in cardiovascular diseases with catheters. Catheter-based technology has improved dramatically in the last 10 years with stents. In the area of infectious disease, we certainly are getting a handle on some of the more complex infectious disease problems. So I think there's been a lot of evolution. I think it'll be a non-linear relationship now that we've established what the human genome is like, and we need to learn how to intervene at each point in the human genome to affect disease processes, either as a blocking as a blocking agent to prevent things from becoming manifest, or as a genetic altering mechanism so that disease processes don't become manifest.
What about any kind of particularly creative use of materials that you've experienced in your practice of medicine, of surgery?
Well, I think some of the new developing technologies relate to cell engineering, where you can grow cells in a dish and then reimplant them either as on a matrix to grow valves, or in heart muscle to reestablish contractility, to myocardial restoration. Different types of metals for developing fancy clips and things. You can clip arteries and do anastomoses. New glues, bioglues to hold tissues together rather than sewing them in some areas.
How does that work, Dr. Chitwood? Glue inside the body, is this some kind of super epoxy glue that works?
No, it's a biologic glue. It's a biologic glue. It's not a chemical that actually is toxic, but it's basically made up of natural adhesives.
In what sense natural? It sounds like it might be a little organism. No,
it's just basically as blood products are put together to form an adhesive thing, so you can bond tissues, layers of valves to bond, to stop bleeding, to fill up holes.
Using the basic clotting mechanism of the...
Correct.
Fascinating. They're putting nature to best advantage, really.
Right.
Taking advantage of the body's own mechanisms. Well, that's fascinating. I'd love to learn more about that. What are some of the most difficult situations you found yourself in?
Well, difficult is difficult. Probably biopolitical situations more than operative situations. You obviously have difficult cases. You mentioned before this important successes in your practice. I think the development of minimally invasive mitral valve surgery as well as mitral valve repair surgery. In North Carolina, there was no one who was really leading the pack in mitral valve repair surgery, and that was one of my goals when I came here. Was to develop mitral valve repair surgery. Of course, the development of the center is an important project and an important success to develop the cardiovascular disease center to where it is today. Difficulties, challenges, I would say getting people to get in sync with your vision is one of the most difficult things anyone will ever do. In other words, rather than chiding them or compressing them into malleability, to basically lead them to see the same vision that you have. And that's hard to do. To see a much greater possibility for a place that early on was just happy to be here. And to realize that if you have a base population of cardiovascular diseases here, and patients who need care, and you have enough intellectual property, and there's a nucleus of intellectual people, as well as a clinical commitment, that you can put together a cardiovascular disease center that can develop education, research, clinical care and leadership in cardiovascular diseases. But getting people in a medical school, hospital, private practice situation with federal and state and county differences in alignments to move in a direction toward a unified approach is hard. So like getting the Balkans to all work together. But I think it's, you know, those are the kinds of challenges that really make large impacts. So those are the difficult situations.
We're still working, of course, towards making health care available throughout the region, just primary health care available.
Yeah, but the other thing is I think we've evolved to the point that region is just not Eastern North Carolina. Region is the Western Hemisphere. And, you know, we have an obligation not just to take care of the people in Eastern North Carolina, which is a primary goal, but as a secondary goal is to develop certain areas of expertise that we can contribute something back to the greater health care of the nation and the country and the other countries. For example, we just brought these children from Mongolia. That's perfectly appropriate in a medical school that's developed for nearly 30 years. It takes 100 years to develop a medical school. You know, I mean, you don't have a mature medical school for 100 years. And if you look at Duke, if you look at Johns Hopkins, you look at Massachusetts General and Harvard, you know, all those places developed over a long period of time. I mean, Duke's a young school, 1923. But when did it start hitting its stride? In the 70s.
Well, back a little bit to the technologies you were talking about, the biological glues and the tissue implants that allow the body to heal without invasive technologies. Has that developed, I guess in particular with vascular surgery, but it could be applied to other aspects of surgery as well, I would imagine.
Sure, plastic surgery, orthopedic surgery, a whole bunch of other areas.
Well, tell me, have there been any particular social or political issues that have been important over the course of your practice of medicine?
Well, political issues are always, you know, if you're building centers, political issues relate to funding, getting individuals to understand the same mission that you have, to get their political alignments in sync with your political alignments. So I think you have to work at several tiers. You have to work at the, there's medical politics, there's hospital politics, there's politics. So you need to work at different levels, state politics, federal politics, as well as localized politics. Most political issues can be solved within a hospital if you get a good corpus of thinkers together to look at all the negatives and all the positives and put this together in a package. In other words, have your act together before you go to play in the circus.
Has the big medical economic changes that have been going on over the past 20, 30 years impacted your career in any?
Yes, I mean, there's no question that the retrenchment of reimbursement by federal, state, and private agencies has negatively impacted where we could have gone. I'm very frustrated, angry over a lot of this, because basically my feeling is it's changed what, essentially it's an indication of what people think the value of what you can provide. You say, well, you know, doctors need to not make as much money. I say, no, the point is, hey, Paul. The point is that physicians, like anybody else, have to be compensated. It's more than this, though. It's the fact that in our specialty, fees have been cut by 50%. That allows us not to provide money for education, money for research laboratories in a medical school. That money wasn't going into our pocket. You know, sure, there are a few abusers in the system. But in our situation, we've had to find alternative sources for funding and basically cut programs. So to tell me that a heart operation is not worth $4,000 for a fee, try to get a rock star to play for a concert for $4,000 to tell you that it's only, a heart operation is only worth $2,000. In year 2000 terms, it's only $1,200. Tell me if you can take care of a patient for $1,200 who doesn't do well. You can take care of the guy that's in there for three days, but if they're in there for a month. So clearly the reimbursement has changed.
Dr. Chitwood, we were talking, you were sharing your reflections on the current medical economic situation and how frustrating that can be. I was hoping you could reflect for just a moment on how your father handled reimbursement for patient care.
Well, he, you know, he got what people paid him, the insurance company, and he gave a lot of charity care. And he was happy to do that. So, you know, so now people have lost the good feeling about giving charity care.
And why have we lost that good feeling?
Well, because it's become much more difficult. Payments become much more difficult. And, you know, it's just, I don't know, it's just a whole different system. And the expectations are different.
Dr. Chitwood, I know that you've been called away. I want to thank you very much for this interview today. You've shared many interesting insights, and I look forward to the continuation of our discussion. Thank you. Okay. Let's skip a little bit here. What are some of the most exciting aspects of providing health care to you?
Tell us, Doug. I'll give you a better interview on these last things if we do it later.
Okay.
Let's do that, because I'll tell you why. Because I'm thinking about this.
I understand, and this requires you to...
Plus, I've got to go see patients. Plus, I'm time nervous. Okay. And so I think that I think what we ought to do is come back, because these are some of the most important questions. Is that okay?
That's fine.
Okay.
Thank you very much for your time.
Let's do that.
Mm-hmm.